Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for the ones that's on tonight. Hallelujah. Sister Kalita, thank you for being on tonight. We will not be Facebook Live tonight, but I thank God for each and every one that has decided to tune in tonight. We just got a prayer request in. Hallelujah. Leticia, she's on Sundays mainly. We're going to pray for her tonight. She's at the hospital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give him all the glory, all the honor. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the ones that's on the teleconference line tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for another opportunity to fellowship together, God, through the teleconference line. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Lord, you said in your word, if we acknowledge you, you will direct our path. Lord, we need your direction. Father, we pray for Leticia, God, being at the emergency room now, God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that they will do the scan that she needs, the CAT scan, and they will locate what is causing the pain. We touch and agree, and you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing that you're in our midst. Lord, we know that you're omnipresent, that you're everywhere. So we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for healing. In the name of Jesus, you said over 2,000 years ago that by your stripes we were healed. We ask God that you continue to look over she and her family, God, bringing her through COVID and her daughter, God. We thank you, Lord, for the angels of the Lord encamping around about she and her family. Oh, God, let your healing power, your healing virtue go through her body. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we honor you. You say one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. You said life and death is in the power of the tongue. We speak life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We honor you tonight. We praise you tonight. There is no one like you. We serve a mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, God. Oh, we thank you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're welcome here, Holy Spirit. Take complete control of every entity. The song that's getting ready to go out tonight, God, take complete control as she ministers through music, God. Use us for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Not thy will, but your will be done. Oh, Father, you tell us in your word in Matthew 18:18, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I bind up Satan, the false prophets, the fallen angels. I send them back to the pits of hell from which they come. And I loose the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago for our sins, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God, for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. We honor you. We praise you. There is no one like you, Father. You said when blessed praises go up, blessings come down. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, my sister.
Hallelujah, since I lay my burden down, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down, I feel better, so much better, since I lay my burden down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. Friends don't treat me like they used to, since I laid my burden down. Friends don't treat me like they used to, since I laid my burden down. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Since I lay my burden down.
Hallelujah.
I'm going home to be with Jesus. Since I lay my burden down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank hallelujah. Thank you, God. Ah, glory, hallelujah. Lay my burden down. Oh, God, I hadn't heard that in years. Hallelujah. How many know when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Oh, hallelujah. We lay our burdens down. Say, friends don't treat me like they used to. Since I laid my burdens down, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, God. We just take this moment to honor you, to praise you, to reverence you, because you've been so good to us, God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. Just praise him with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. The highest praise. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a merciful God. Thank you for the ones that's on tonight, God, ready to study your word, God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above every name. Lord, you said in your word that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We confess that you're Lord over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We just reverence in your presence right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you for your protecting angels around us today, God, leading and guiding us. Your protecting angels as we travel the dangerous highways and byways in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We honor you tonight. We praise you tonight. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, God. Lord, hallelujah. We help us, Lord, to live each day like it's our last, God. Oh, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, God. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a mighty God. There is no one like him. No one like him. Hallelujah. 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 Just bear with me. Bless your name, Chief. Bless your name, Chief. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for each and every one being on tonight. Welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I hope you have your Bible. I hope you have your Bible tonight. Ooh, since I laid my burden down, I feel so much better. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. We're still in Corinthians. We finished up 1 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. The topic of discussion, treasure in fragile clay jars. Treasure in fragile clay jars. The question I gave you to ponder, do you consider yourself a treasure used by God, yet fragile as clay? Hallelujah. And as I previously stated, the scripture reference is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll be covering, Lord's will, verse 1 through 12. But for our review, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you allow me to read it again, it reads as thus, but whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I made you aware last Tuesday that when Moses went into the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai, a radiance came over his face, which he was unaware of until he returned to the people to tell them of what the Lord commanded of him, which, as we know, were written on scribes that are known as what? As the Ten Commandments. I should unmute the phone so I can get a response back. Known as the Ten Commandments. So we know that Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he was in the presence of the Lord and the radiance, because God is a holy God. The radiance was all over him. His face radiated. And so when he went back to the people to tell them what God had commanded, which was written on scribes, the Ten Commandments. Amen. Furthermore, I made you aware that this veil illustrates, listen to me, illustrates the fading of the old system and the veiling of the people's minds. So unveiling and veiling, the veiling of people's minds. What did I say to you? In other words, the veil shows what was in them. Remember, a veil covers up. So it showed what was in them. And we learned that they were full of what? Full of pride, hardness of heart, and they refused to repent. Mm-hmm. Mm. The veil kept them from understanding references to Jesus as the Messiah in the scripture. They didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend the scripture because of the veil. Their minds were covered up. They didn't have understanding of scripture. However, when anyone becomes a Christian, the veil is taken away. Giving a person what? He gives us what when the veil is taken away? You automatically get a gift. When you accept him as Lord and Savior of your life, according to Romans 10 and 9, the Bible said the veil is taken away, giving a person what? Eternal life and freedom from what? Bondage. She said, since I laid my burden down, I feel so much better, so much better. However, friends don't treat me like I used to, like they used to, since I laid my burden down. But I feel so much better. So God is giving you a free gift. You free freedom from bondage. He gives us eternal life. I told you last week, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 is evident of this. And it reads as thus. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Mm-hmm. In addition, that person can then be like a mirror reflecting God's glory. We can be like a mirror reflecting God's glory. But how many know it's a process, and we have to want, we have to desire the things of God. We have to make a conscious decision. We're going to spend time with God. He wants to build a relationship with us. Verse 17 through 18 goes on into further detail of what happens after the veil is removed. And it reads as thus. It says, now the Lord, verse 17 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty, deliverance from bondage, and true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
See, before we get saved, before the veil is unremoved, we get free because we take a little sip. We smoke a little weed before we get saved. Some of us, to bring about some peace, some freedom, to relax up. Mm-hmm. You know what you've been delivered from. I know what I've been delivered from. But Paul, he makes us aware here in verse 17 through 18, now that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He comes, his Spirit comes to reside on the inside of us, and his name is Jesus. And he brings deliverance from bondage and true freedom. Remember, my sisters and my brothers, I made you aware that the law makes you aware of sin. But the law does not make a person spiritually free. And this was demonstrated through Moses in the form of the Ten Commandments. You say, Pastor, what? In other words, the Ten Commandments made them aware and make us aware of what God expected of them. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 3 is evident of this. And it reads it up. He said, he has, hallelujah, bear with me. He has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not of the letter, it is of the Spirit. For the letter of the law, meaning describes the letter of the law, kills, and the way it kills is by revealing sin and demanding obedience. See, it's hard for some of us to obey a God. But the Spirit gives life. Verse 6, the statement, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, means that trying to be saved by keeping the Old Testament laws will end in death. In other words, Paul is saying to the Corinthians and us, there is not a written code that qualifies us as ministers. But one must be led by the Holy Spirit. So the Ten Commandments is a written scribe for us to go by. But it takes more than that. It takes the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to live this thing. Hallelujah. It does. Meaning salvation. See, Satan don't want us to, he ain't gonna make it easy to change sides. Uh-huh. He going to bring stuff that your flesh enjoys. Or he'll bring things back to your remembrance. And he is a consistent devil. He is persistent and consistent. But you got to make up your mind and heart that you're going to be consistent and persistent in the things of God. Pray. Seek him. Ask him to help you in your weakness. So he's not going to make it easy to live this thing, meaning salvation. It takes us going from glory to glory in God, progressing in God. Verse 18 is evident of this. The last verse, 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, and it reads as it says, and we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Or what? Are progressively being transformed into his image. And from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from who? Comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Doesn't come from your pastor, doesn't come from your bishop, but it comes from the Lord. He said he'll have no other God before him. And he will progressively take you from glory to glory to glory. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Now for the new information. The topic of discussion, as I said, treasures in fragile clay jars. Do you consider yourself a treasure used by God? Yet fragile as clay. You know God molds and shapes us. So 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 1, hallelujah. And this is where Paul speaks of his apostolic ministry. And it reads this thus. It says, verse 1, he said, therefore, since we have this ministry, just as we receive mercy from God granting us salvation, opportunities, and blessings, we do not get discouraged nor lose our motivation. Verse 2, but we have renounced the disgraceful things hidden because of shame, not walking in trickery or adulterating, meaning tainting the word of God, but by stating the truth openly and plainly. We commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God, meaning we commit ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. What is Paul saying here? Paul condemned those in the apostolic ministry who twist God's word. He is saying that preachers and teachers and everyone else who talks about Jesus must remember that they stand in God's presence and he hears every word. We got to be careful. We got to be careful what we do as preachers and teachers because we held accountable. We have to be careful even as believers what we say. Hallelujah. Because we stand in what we talk about when we talk about Jesus Christ. We must remember that we stand in God's presence and he hears every word. Paul goes on to say that some Christian ministers and leaders twist scripture to motivate or please their congregation. Oh, hallelujah. Others take scripture out of context to promote their own view. Paul is saying that as believers, when we tell people about Christ, we must be careful not to distort the message. We need to know what we're talking about. And we don't supposed to take it out of context to fit our own, you know, to gratify ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, God is speaking loudly in this season. He is speaking. He's letting us know he's in control. Hallelujah. Because people do it. They did it back over 2,000 years ago when Paul started the Corinthian church, and they have done it now. We ain't seen nothing yet. And some people still go. They don't even take God seriously. He said we have to be careful. Preachers, teachers, and those who talk about Jesus Christ, who witnessing. Verse 3 through 4 of 2 Corinthians 4. Paul goes on to say, he says, but even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. The ones who haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, among them, the God of this world, meaning Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul is saying that the gospel is open and revealed to everyone, except those who refuse to believe it. You have people that sit in the church day in and day out. It feels good to be in the church because there's just something right about it. But they don't believe. They refuse to believe it. He goes on to say that Satan, the god of this era, meaning this time period, works to deceive, and he has blinded those who don't believe in Christ. I don't understand it, y'all. But a person who say they say, but they listening to the unsaved, they allow them to influence them. God said we're going to be held accountable. Satan, he's the god of this world. Paul is saying that the gospel is open and revealed to everyone except those who refuse to believe. Who God? He goes on to say that Satan, the god of this era, meaning this time period, works to deceive, and he has blinded those who don't believe in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 through 15 says, it's evident. He said, and no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Uh-huh. He come up in the church. He go through the formality, the language that the Christian used. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 through 15. He said, and no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is no great surprise if his servants also, Satan's servants, masquerade as servants of righteousness. But their end will correspond, listen to me, he said, but their end will correspond with their deeds. Paul is saying here that Satan and his servants can deceive us by appearing to be attractive, good, and moral. Beloved, we must ask God for discernment and wisdom. I tell you, I ask God for wisdom. Discernment, because he said even the elect can be deceived. They smooth. They're some smooth-talking jokers. Let me keep going. Paul is making us aware here that many unsuspecting people follow smooth-talking, Bible-quoting leaders into cults that alienate them from their family and lead them into practicing immorality and deceit. Don't be deceived by external appearances. Our impressions alone do not accurately indicate who is or isn't a true follower of Christ. Can't go by that. What you supposed to go by? You're supposed to be what? I supposed to be what? A fruit inspector. Uh-huh. We got to inspect fruit. That's why we have to be quiet sometimes and listen. Hallelujah. I learned through my studies that it is vital to ask three questions of leaders who preach about Christ. Now, that don't mean you be disrespectful to your leaders, because I'm going to tell you something. People want to get in their flesh. And see, this is in the Word of God. It said, so I learned through my studies that it is vital to ask three questions of leaders who preach about Christ. But I believe that it's important to ponder these questions and then go to your leader if you have additional questions. So guess what? Remember what I always say. God is interested in building a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. But some people want to, like they said, take the word out of context. They want to go forth and be disrespectful. I have some questions, Cal. They haven't even went in the Word of God, studied the Word of God, pray and seek God about it, because he speaks to us primarily through what? Through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very important to ponder it ourselves, go to the Word, study the Word, pray and seek him. And then if you still have a question, go to your leader. Because that's what your leader have to do. I have to study the Word of God. I have to pray. I have to seek him. And as you build a relationship, he will wake you up early in the morning. You're not going to be able to lay there, because he's going to get you up. He said, I need to share something with you, daughter. He's so kind. Mm-hmm. So the first question that we should ask our leaders, or ponder within ourselves and ask and pray to God about. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Number one, do these teachers' teaching confirm a scripture? Do this teacher's teaching confirm scripture? Acts 17, verse 11, turn there with me. So do the teacher that you listen to, tonight me, do this teacher's teaching confirm scripture? Acts 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. It's a New Testament. Acts 17, verse 11. I'm going to give you a minute. Acts Acts 17, verse 11 states, "Now these people were more noble and open-minded than those in Thessalonica. So they received the message of salvation through faith in the Christ with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So it sounds like to me, they went in the Word of God, they listened to the man or woman of God, but they began to search the scripture for themselves. Luke is the author of Acts. Luke makes us aware that the people in Berea, B-E-R-E-A, searched the scripture for themselves to verify the message they heard. Berea lies within the ancient region of Macedonia. Scriptures confirm that this was a Jewish community that lived within the city, even though it was within a Gentile nation. How many know we were the Gentiles? We are considered the Gentiles because Jesus' own people didn't accept him, but the Gentiles had an opportunity to accept him. And we did. And I'm glad. And there were a people who habitually searched the scripture. For themselves. Hallelujah. I tell you, a lot of times people want to find someone they can blame. But we got to, God is interested in building a relationship with us. Beloved, a preacher or a teacher should never contradict anything that is found in God's word. Believers should always compare what you hear with what the Bible says. That we're talking about maturing in the things of God. The second question that should be asked of preachers or teachers and are pondered, then go to God in prayer. Amen? Number two, does the teacher affirm and proclaim that Jesus Christ is God, who came into the world as a man to save people from their sins? And this is found in 1 John 4:1-3. You know, some people won't even say that Jesus came down as a man, in the form of a man, and they won't say Jesus lived in their flesh. Let's see what the words say about his spirit. 1 John 4:1-3. John lets us know that we must test the spirit. Hallelujah. And it reads as thus. He said, do not believe, I always say beloved, do not believe every spirit. Speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. Instead, test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets and teachers have gone out into the world. Verse 2, by this you know and recognize the spirit of God. This is the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ has actually come in the flesh as a man is from God. God is its source. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny any of the Son's true nature, is not of God. They have a hard time. Let me stop a minute. They have a hard time saying, yes, his spirit resides on the inside of me, and his name is Jesus. He said in his word, if you be ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you by his Father which is in heaven. So acknowledging that he has come in the flesh, but would deny any of the Son's true nature, is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. Keep walking with me. We're talking about some mature Christian. Hallelujah. This testing and trying that John is talking about means that we should not believe everything we hear just because someone says they have a message from God. There are several ways to test teachers to see if their teaching truly comes from the Lord. First, we can check to see if their words match what God says in the Bible. Hallelujah. We can also test their commitment to the body of believers. 1 John 2:19. Turn there with me. 1 John 2. Hallelujah. First John chapter 2. Verse 19. First John chapter 2, verse 19, where we can test a teacher or a preacher's commitment to the body of believers. First John 2, verse 19 is evident of this, and it reads it thus. It says, they went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians. Mm-hmm. This is how they tested. But they were not really of us. You know why? Because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. Well, if they had been of us, they would have remained with us.
Mm-hmm.
But they went out teaching false doctrine so that it would be clearly shown that none of them are of us. What is John saying here? Beloved, the Antichrist were not total strangers to the church. They had once been in the church, but they did not really belong to it. John does not say why they left, but he indicates they had joined for wrong reasons. People joined the church for wrong reasons. They had joined for wrong reasons in the first place. Some people may call themselves Christians for half-hearted or even wrong reasons. For example, going to church is just a family tradition. Or maybe they appreciate the social networking and business contacts they make there. Or maybe going to church is a long-standing habit, and they have never stopped to ask themselves why they do it. Mm-hmm. Why do they do it? It's just this tradition. It was the thing their family did. They just go. He said, Pastor, well, that's a good thing. Yes, it's a thing. I have a question for you. What do you give as your main reason for being a Christian? Unless you have a Christ-centered reason, beloved, you are in danger. I am in danger of going astray and being influenced by false teachers. I tell you, beloved, you don't have to settle for less than the best. Purpose in your heart that you're going to become a loyal, trustworthy, worthy follower of Christ. I just told you prior that Satan has power in the world. He was thrown out of heaven over 2,000 years ago, and the fallen angel, the one that took his side against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is right down here on earth. And false prophets, Satan, and his fallen angels. So purpose in your heart that you are going to become a loyal, trustworthy follower of Christ. The third question to ask the teacher and or ponder within yourself and pray and seek God about, is the teacher's lifestyle consistent with biblical morality? Mm-hmm. 1 John 3:23-24. You should be still in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23-24. It says, this is the commandment that we believe with personal faith and confident trust in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Do you teach? Do they appear to have those fruits? And that we unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, just as he commanded us. The one who habitually keeps his commandment, obeying his word and following his precepts, abides and remains in him, and he in him. By this we know and have the proof that he really abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us as a gift. Do he exemplify the fruit? John is making us aware here, beloved, that this is a mutual relationship with living in Christ as he lives in us. He says it shows in Christians who keep three essential commands. You ready for them? Number one, believe in Christ, love others, and live obedient lives in close fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. Beloved, the Spirit's presence is not only spiritual and mystical, but also practical. Our conduct verifies his presence within us. If you believe it, say amen. Our conduct verifies his presence within us. The most important test of all, says John, is what they believe about Christ. Do they teach that Jesus is fully God and fully man? My sisters and my brothers, our world has many voices claiming to speak for God. I would encourage you to use these standards to see if they are indeed speaking God's truth. Check behind me. That's why I want you, I always say, get your Bibles and follow along with me and then go back and study. Study to show thyself approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Back in Timothy, hallelujah. You know the scripture. Beloved, the latter part of this passage talks about the spirit of Antichrist. I come by to tell you the spirit of Antichrist is those who reject Christ, or rather unknowingly or consciously siding with the spirit of the Antichrist. They are unknowingly or consciously siding with the spirit of Antichrist. I don't understand it, y'all. Why would a Christian listening to the word day out and day in, Monday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever night, hallelujah, and they want to listen to ones that are not even professing Christianity? I have a problem. I'm talking about everyone, leaders, teachers, preachers, those who say they are Christians, that Jesus Christ have come and lived on the inside of them. Hallelujah. We should go from glory to glory in God. We should be like better. Oh, hallelujah. Be like those who practice, who habitually practice listening to the word, studying the word, searching the scripture for ourselves, building a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verse 18 through 23 states, he says, children, it is the last hour, the end of this age. And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, the one who will oppose Christ and attempt to replace him. Uh-huh. Even now, many Antichrists, false teachers have appeared, which confirms our belief that it is the last hour. Mm-hmm. Verse 19. They went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians, but they were not really of us, because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed from darkness to light. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out teaching false doctrines, so that it would be clearly shown. Mm-hmm. We're talking about preachers and teachers. And we're also talking about those who say they believe and Christ has come on the inside of them. That's why we have to search the scripture for ourselves and be determined to hear from God. Pray, get up when you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit asking you to move and spend time with. Hallelujah. I come by to tell you, my sister. I come by to tell you, my brother, the Holy Spirit will do his job in your life. He will help you in your weakness. He will lead and guide you. And when you don't know what to pray, when opposition is on every side, and anguish, because it's going to happen sometimes. But I come by to tell you, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession on your behalf with groans and moanings that words to not utter. Are you determined to build a relationship with it? When he asks you to search the scripture, to study his word, hallelujah. He wants you to know him, hallelujah. Verse 19 of 1 John 2, Hallelujah. He said they went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians, but they were not really of us because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, hallelujah, teaching false doctrine so that it would be clearly shown, ooh, hallelujah, that none of them are of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specifically gifted, and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us. The Holy Spirit, that's one of his jobs. He teaches us. Illuminate our minds and guard us from error. Verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do not know it, and because no lie, nothing false, no deception is of the truth. Verse 22, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed? This is the Antichrist, the enemy, the antagonist of Christ, the one who denies and consistently refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whoever denies and whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. For the one who confesses and acknowledges the Son has the Father also. John is speaking here about the last days, beloved. The time between Christ's first and second coming. He came initially, as I taught you, as the Lamb of Christ, because he died for our sins. The second coming, he's coming as the conqueror, the warrior. Satan has already been defeated. Hallelujah. So John is speaking here about the last day, the time between Christ's first and second coming. The first century readers of First John were living in the last day. And so are we. During this time, Antichrist, meaning false teachers who pretended to be Christians and who lure weak members away from Christ, continue to spread their lies. John makes us aware that finally, just before the world ends, one great leader known as the Antichrist will arise. And this is found in Revelation 13, Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10. For the sake of time, y'all, I will read Revelation 19, verse 20 as evidence that the Antichrist will appear. Hallelujah. And it reads as thus. It says, and the beast, meaning the Antichrist. We studied about the beast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It said, and the beast, meaning the Antichrist, was seized and overpowered. And with him, the false prophet, who in his presence had performed amazing signs, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were hurled alive into the lake of what? Into the lake of fire, which blazes with brimstone. Beloved, this is evident that he, the Antichrist, will appear. But it's also evident that we do not need to be afraid of anything that opposes Christ, because the Holy Spirit shows us their error. I don't know why. I can't even imagine in my mind why we don't want to go from glory to glory to glory. We got to get past this in our minds that it's our thing. We're going to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, what we want to do. We should want to be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for one another that we have that desire.
Because the Antichrist, the Word of God is telling us tonight that he will appear and he'll be doing miraculous signs. But the Bible also just made us aware that they will be hurled alive into the lake of fire, which blazes with brimstone. This is evident that he will appear, but it's also evident that we do not need to be afraid of anything that opposes Christ, because the Holy Spirit shows us their error, which enable us to not be what? Be deceived. So, John is saying that it is imperative that we teach God's word as preachers and teachers, and the ones that are telling people about the goodness of Jesus, we need to spend time with God. We have to know what we're talking about. Because John makes it evident, he makes it clear that it is imperative that we teach God's word clearly and carefully to those who are not as mature in the word of God. We have a responsibility. Show that they won't fall prey to these teachers who come to you and me in sheep clothing, but inwardly what? A vicious wolf. According to what? Matthew 7 verse 15. I'm going to give it to you. I don't just say something. Matthew 7 verse 15 reads as such. He said, beware of false prophets. Teachers who are appearing dental, because they can show up. They'll get, you know, some people say nasty. They'll get nasty with you. And you'll be like, whoa, where that come from? And it can pierce so harshly. It can pierce your soul. So beware of Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets, teachers who come to you dressed as sheep, appearing gentle and innocent, but inwardly a raving wolves. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus. Verse 5-6 of 2 Corinthians 4. It reads as thus. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, but as merely as your bond servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ. Beloved, the focus of Paul's preaching was on Jesus Christ and not on himself. When you witness, tell people about what Jesus has done and not about your abilities and accomplishments. Mm-hmm. People must be introduced to Jesus. Not necessary to us. No, not to us. And if you hear people preach about their own ideas, rather than about Christ, beware. They are false teachers. Mm-hmm. You say, Pastor, you need to be careful. Look. People must be introduced to Jesus, not to us. And if you hear people preaching about their own ideas rather than about Christ, beware. They are false teachers. Paul willingly served the Corinthian church, even though the people must have deeply disappointed him. I know he was deeply disappointed. Paul started the Corinthian church. I know how it is. Some things come down the pipe, so to speak, and pierce you so to your soul. But God will allow you to forgive quickly. He will help you through that thing. So when I studied this, I said, oh, Paul. Paul willingly served the Corinthian church, even though the people must have deeply disappointed him. We know that they did. Serving people required a sacrifice of time and personal desire. Being serving others. Even when we serve others, even when they don't even measure up to our expectations. You said pastors shouldn't measure up to our expectations. Well, I'm going to tell you something about a preacher and a teacher. They are held accountable We cannot allow their blood to be on our hands. So some things are very uncomfortable for your pastor or your teacher to have to say. But we have to say it. We have to do what God, what thus says the Lord. And then if you don't believe what they say, what have I been teaching tonight? Go to the Word of God, search the Scripture, and then come back. We got to be people of doing things decent and order. Help us, Lord. Help us in our weakness. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4. It says, but we have this precious treasure, praise God, the good news about salvation, in unworthy earthen vessels. These vessels are not worthy of human frailty, so that the grandeur of surpassing greatness, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, His sufficiency, and not from ours. I'm reading from the Amplified, so it gives more detailed information. Paul is making us aware that supremely valuable message of salvation in Jesus Christ have been entrusted by God to frail and fallible human beings. God has entrusted it in us. The Bible says we're frail and fallible human beings. Mm-hmm. He said the supremely valuable message of salvation in Jesus Christ has been entrusted in us by God. And He identified us as frail, infallible human beings. However, Paul's focus is not on the perishable containers, but on its priceless content, which is God's power dwelling in us. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What does your container consist of? What content is inside of you? Beloved, though we are being molded like clay, God uses us to spread His gospel, and He gives us power to do His work. He gets all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Relying on God's power, not on our own, will keep us from pride and motivate us to stay close to Him. Our power source. He is your power source. He is my power source. Beloved, if we do this, many will see God's Spirit shining in us, and we will be drawn, and they will be drawn to Him, because we're going to be telling Him about the goodness, the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will notice that although you may have normal struggles and challenges, there is something appealing about how you handle them. They will want to know more about your power source. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. And He resides on the inside of you. And He resides on the inside of me. If we have accepted Him as Lord and Savior of our life, it's a gift from God. Hallelujah. Last, verse 8 through 12 of 2 Corinthians 4. And it reads as thus. He said, we are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair, haunted, down, and persecuted, but not deserted, to stand alone, struck down, but never destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown in our body, for we who live are constantly experiencing the threat of being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evident in our mortal body, which is subject to death. So physical death is actively at work in us, but spiritual life is actively and work in you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul reminds us, beloved, that though we may think we are at the end of our rope, we are never at the end of our hope, because our hope is in Jesus. our perishable body are subject to sin and suffering. But God never abandons us. We must have a knowing in our spirit, beloved, because God has won the victory over there. We can and will have eternal life. Just know that all our risks, humiliation, and trials are opportunity for Christ to demonstrate his power and presence in and through us. I'm a living witness. We must ask ourselves, could I handle the suffering and opposition that Paul did? You, some of you Bible scholars know that Paul had dealt with a lot of stuff. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 23 through 28 makes us aware of some of the suffering and opposition that Paul endured. And it reads as thus, are they self-proclaimed servants of Christ? He asked. I am speaking as if I were out of my mind. I am more so, for I exceed them. He said, I exceed them. I just can imagine in my mind the anguish he was feeling when he was saying these words. He said, I am more so, for I exceed them with far more labor, with far more imprisonment, beaten times without number, and often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews, 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent adrift on the sea, many times on journey, exposed to danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen. Sometimes your own people will turn against you. Danger from the Gentiles. Danger in the city. Danger in the wilderness. Danger on the street. Danger among those posing as believers. Danger among those posing as believers. In labor and hardship. Often unable to sleep. In hunger and thirst. Often driven to fasting for lack of food and cold and exposure without adequate clothing besides those external things. There is the daily, hallelujah, pressure of my concern for all the churches. He said, I've had to endure all this. And then I still have to have the pressure of being concerned about all my churches. I come by to tell you, my sister. I come by to tell you, my brother. God, he chooses us. And sometimes on this journey, it is hard, y'all. But you got to stay connected to the lifeline, which is the Holy Scripture. God is a man that he will not lie. He cannot lie. The greater one lives on the inside of you. The greater one lives on the inside of me. And his name is Jesus. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Don't quit the Holy Spirit. Let him have his way in your life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will find yourself being able to endure like Paul, y'all. Hallelujah. My sisters and my brothers. From an earthly perspective, Paul was not successful, hallelujah, during his lifetime from an earthly perspective. However, God worked through him mightily and used him to impact countless lives for Christ. Like Paul, we must carry out our own ministry, looking to God for strength. I come by to tell you, he is our strength. Hallelujah. He'll make a way out of no way. It will come by surprise to us sometimes. But he is faithful. Even when we're faithless, keep walking with him. Keep talking to him. Don't give up when opposition, slander, or disappointment threatens to rob you of victory. Remember that no one can destroy what God has accomplished through you. He will get the glory out of your life. We are living in the last day. I come by to tell you, my sister, if God is doing a new thing, will you allow him to do a new thing in you? I can tell he has done a new thing in me. Has it been easy? No, hallelujah. I've had to endure some hardship, and I still am not out yet. But my God, he is faithful. He's a man that he cannot lie. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He will keep your mind in perfect peace. Who stayed on him, I come by to ask you, are you going to stay connected to the lifeline, which is the Holy Scripture? He is faithful. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In the name that's above every name, you said that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I bow my knee and I confess that you're Lord of my life. I pray that everyone under the sound of my stomach, under the sound of my voice, that they will not take their word lightly, that they will study to show themselves approved, a woman needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise. I know that I've gone through 8:30, but if we have a comment, I will not hold you. Hallelujah. But if you have a comment tonight, press star 6, and I would love to hear from you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you for your word on tonight, God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah.
Well, good evening, good evening. After hearing that, I all I can say is to God be the glory. Be praying for you as you bring forth the word, but what you asked a question a little while ago, I just need to say that, yes, if we have made commitments before we got saved, I don't know about nobody else, but I was faithful to the dance floor, the DJ, everything else. I can't say I can't be faithful to God. So if we don't look back and see what we were faithful to that was definitely dragging us to hell, we need to look and see where we can make it in Christ. It is an easy thing to do. Easy thing to do. So I pray that those who did not have an answer, that's my answer to that one. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Do we have another comment tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Butler. Hello?
Yes, to God be the glory, but Mother Butler. It's so good to hear your voice.
I think we got cut off.
No, I hear you.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. God bless you, Reverend Keys, and God bless all the rest of y'all. But tonight, you said, God, you serve. You know one thing we know. When God is in it, you're going to always win. It is so true what you spoke on tonight. And when we got God in our life, we got everything. You know, God is an awesome and powerful and merciful God. And we come humble tonight, knowing in the midst of everything, not just tonight, every night. In the midst of everything, no matter what's going on in this world, God said, I'm going to take care of it. Don't you worry about nothing. I'm the one that's going to keep on showing you the way. I'm going to keep walking and talking with you. I'm the one going to let you know, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, I'm here with all my children. And I just want to keep on saying, God bless all of you. And Pastor Keith, keep on doing what you're doing and tell us out the Bible. I may be blind, but God is my light. He's my eyes. But I want to keep on saying we're proud of you. You keep on doing what God wants you to do. Keep on telling us what, how, where, and who to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Because when we hold on his hand, we ain't got to fear nothing but fear yourself. And God said, don't you worry about nothing. I got you covered from your head to your toe. Just hold on to me, children, because I'll never let you go. So keep on blessing you and your family, and God bless my daughter-in-law, and keep on praising your husband's name. My husband, I'm keep on, he got his gloves on. They're transferring him to another hospital. But I said, you know, he's no longer in the ICU. They say he's gone to one. But I told the social worker, I said, you're putting him somewhere else. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. You know you believe in God. If you don't do what God wants you to do, if you're not telling the truth, God's going to take care of that too. But if you're walking with God and doing with God, he got his gloves on. He may not can talk, but he know his name. So I'm going to keep on thanking y'all for continue praying for him as you've always had. God bless you tonight, and keep on blessing all of y'all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we have another comment tonight? To God be the glory. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Hallelujah. Sister Rose Dixon, thank you so much for tuning in. It's always good to see your own. Sister Kalina, thank you so much for putting in. Butler, thank you for your service. Thank you, Sister Suburban, for being on. My Sister Felicia, we thank you. We noticed that you were coughing. Thank you for your diligence in singing. We give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for each and every one of you being on. We're going to continue to pray for one another and strive to be all that God will have to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to study your word, God, with your people. I thank you, God. I ask, God, that the angels of the Lord camp around everyone that's on this line. Father, look over to the leader, God. Touch her legs, touch every entity of her. Oh, God, we know the pain that she feels in her back with the arthritis in her back, God. We ask, God, thank you for raising her up off her bed of affliction. Lord, we thank you that medication is working to help her, God. Lord, I pray that the angels of the Lord are kept around her mind, that she will continue to put on the helmet of salvation, because the enemy wants to attack her mind continuously. I bind up the enemy in the name of Jesus. We said in your word, God, Matthew 16 and 18, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I bind up Satan. I bind up the false angels. I bind up the false prophets. I bind up the deep roots that have been inflicted in her even as a little girl. No, I'm not telling her business because I don't know all her business, but I come to serve notice on the devil that he will not have mine, that the angels of the Lord encamp around about her. I have to be obedient to what thus saith the Lord. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, for the protecting angels from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, that she's the head and not the tail, and everything that the enemy meant for bad, that you're going to turn it around for your good. Because, Lord, you are a forgiving God, a loving God. There is no one like you. And you told your disciples over 2,000 years ago that we in this generation would do greater work. You told them that they would do greater work than he had ever done. So, Lord, I thank you. That's why I speak with authority, y'all. Like, we can't play around with the enemy. He is real. We just read it. So I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that the angels of the Lord camp around about you. I heard you, Sister Mother Butler, as far as your husband. Yes, you gave to God, and we touch and agree with you. That if anything that's not like you that's been done, that you put it in your hands, God, let the hidden be revealed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. You said that one will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So we serve notice on the 10,000 enemies that come against God's people, that backbite, that talk about them. I already know, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to serve notice on them spirits. Because the Bible says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against each other, y'all. But principalities, power, and high and heavenly places. The word is true. Every man is a lie. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, every knee will bow. Heaven, we will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Go ahead and talk about Pastor Charlene. Go ahead and you keep running my name down.
Tell him.
If God shall know it,
yes, Lord.
The hidden will be revealed in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name.
Tell him, Pastor.
And if you are led by the Holy Spirit to sow in this ministry, be led by the Spirit, because he's taking care of us. He's taking care of us through you, the ones that give. You allow the Holy Spirit to do it. If you are led tonight, the Cash App is $Wholeness1966. Go to my website, www.ajourneyintowholeness.org, and click on giving. If the Holy Spirit leads and guides you to do it. We thank you for the ones, and you know who I'm talking to, that sow into this ministry. I see you out there. I see you right on the line here. Thank you so much for your giving. Thank you for being a blessing to family. We give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, and we pray that it is served back to you 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory. We will be back here on Sunday. We had some technical difficulties, man. I look back on it. You couldn't really hear it real well. I will be out there tomorrow trying to work on that. The microphone system, and someone's going to meet me out. We're going to try to get everything good and professional looking and everything.
That's so
continue
right.
to pray
God,
out.
God, don't be going anymore. Got the word through. That's all right. Still heard you.
Hallelujah. So we give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I just want to let you know I have been working diligently on some things. So stay tuned. I'm going to be sending out some videos of me introducing to some of you my business, Journey into Wholeness, Life Skill Building Counseling. I will be sending out, you'll be seeing a video coming out soon. The web designer and I have been working diligently on the website. So I will be sending out videos through social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then one video is introducing what we're offering, and then you will be asked to go to my website and look at the next video in detail about what we're doing. I've been doing a lot of videoing and whatnot and getting it together.
Got a lot for you to do.
Stay tuned. The first video should be going probably Thursday. I'm working on Thursday. And then we will be doing virtual workshops and counseling, one-on-one counseling, virtually through Zoom. So be praying for Pastor. Pray good things now.
God got it. You got it. You know God got you working. You ain't heard nothing yet. He got you working. God, I told you, I'm going
to
be moving, just like you said, Zoom. That's the right name.
To God be
Zoom, because that's what God going to have you do. God bless you.
To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You be blessed, my sister. Be blessed until Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Be blessed. Good night.
God bless you. Have a blessed night.
Khalida?
Yes, ma'am.
She prayed for you.